For some of you, just needed to kind of sit in the background and watch some of that happening this morning. You know, it does to me just reflect often some of our journeys, to be honest, where we come. We have plans, and they're all pretty good, and they look. Let's see here. I'll show you something. Can I do this? Yeah. Okay. And they look quite good on paper, but sometimes they don't work quite the way we planned them. But in the midst of that, it gives God an opportunity to actually do something completely different, right? And maybe catch us sideways. And maybe what I say this morning didn't really mean that much, because God already did something for you and he spoke to you. And so I trust that God would speak to you again through his word. He would confirm who he is. I love the end of that song. Here's my heart, O God, speak what is true. I believe the author is basically trying to say, surrender to Jesus, and then he'll give you the truth. And what does the truth look like, I wonder? Sometimes we think of just God's word, which it definitely is, but sometimes it's hard to find the jewels in God's word, and so God speaks it to us through his Holy Spirit. And when he speaks through his Holy Spirit, it touches us on the inside, right? It's something that is confirmed in our hearts, and he tells us how good we are. He expresses in whatever way he can how much he loves us, how much he cares for us, and wants to walk with us through the journey that doesn't always work out the way we planned it. I think all of us here can say it's not working out the way we planned it. And some of you can say it's worse, and some of you can say it's better, and some of you can say I'm not sure. So we have so many different responses. And yet what we're going to discover in the scriptures this morning, as I'm going to try to go through, that the important part, though, is that we know that God is with us as we go through the journey, whatever it is, and that he can speak his truths to us, and that we can read about his truths as well, and it can confirm in our hearts that we can do that. We can walk through this. We can do it. And if you look around, we're together in this journey. Please don't be isolated. Don't do it on your own. God walks with us, but his plan is that we walk with one another. It's a great triangle, right, that involves us and God and our friends. Let's pray together. Father, thank you this morning for taking the service just the way it is, and working with who we are. And so we commit ourselves to you. We do surrender ourselves to you, God, and ask that you would speak through your word this morning. And I pray in Jesus' name, amen. So we are talking a little bit about journeys, because Joseph was on a journey. And I don't know if you know the story, but as Patty read it, my wife read it. Here we are. We're working together, right? We're ministering together. Want to come up with me? Yeah. Sorry, hon. Yeah, I'll get it later for that. Don't worry. But anyhow, we're ministering together. It's so much fun. I do love it. I love my wife, and I love the opportunity to work with her and to minister together. So do that too. Find people you love. Minister with them. Just do it together. So in this journey that Joseph has, as we saw through that long scripture reading, that was just one part of his journey. But it's the one part I'm going to focus on this morning, and next week we'll move another step in his journey. So to start this journey, I thought I would share just a little illustration. I had about 20 illustrations, but I figure I should keep it to one. And then let's take a look at a little bit of the context, and then let's jump into the story, and let's get out of it and walk with God. Okay. So as I was thinking about different illustrations, I finally decided to go with one that didn't even relate to me, because sometimes when I share things that are mine, I get out of control. So I'll share one that I just went to Friday night. Friday night we went to watch the play, the musical at Oak Bay. Anybody get to the Oak Bay High School musical? All right, some of you guys. It was awesome. We had representation there from our church, and it was great to see them all up there and being involved in that. But as we watched it, it was huge. How long was that show? 3 hours. 3 hours. These kids were amazing. And, you know, it was long, but it was so enjoyable. And with the pit that was playing, the band that was playing at the front, and all the students, I don't know how many students were involved, but it felt like 100 I don't know. It was more than that. Yeah. So many. And together they came together to do this production. Now, we all know that that was the finished product. As they, and it was developing through the 6 or 7 days that they did it too. And you could see how they were all learning more and more how to add different things to the play. And so I caught it near the end, the second last day. It's always a journey, right? When you do things like that as a team. And I believe it was with them too. I think if we could have some of them, maybe if Chase was here now, we'd bring Chase up, or Johnny and Chris and Danica. And I think someone was involved with costumes here, was it? Evangelina, yeah. So maybe there are others I'm missing too that were involved, but there's many of them involved in the play. And so they could probably share all sorts of things that happened during the workup to it, and then during the play, and all the people that got sick or hurt themselves, or their throat was gone, or lose their voice. I don't know, a variety of things probably happened. People couldn't make it maybe some nights. Just all sorts of things in the journey where we're given an opportunity to see who we are and what we can do through that journey. What do we look to? Who do we look to? How do we deal with these situations that come up? I mean, even last night they finished, I guess, and so they had their after party kind of thing. How did that go, I wonder? So, you know, you have all those different things that are happening, but they're all part of the journey. The funny thing, though, that we do is in these journeys, we often just try to, we're always thinking about the end product. We're thinking about what it's going to look like, how good we're going to do. Who's going to be there? What award am I going to get? Will they like the way I look? Will they like the way I sound? Will they like the way I sing? Or what if I don't do well? You know, all these kind of things. All these things go through our mind. And so we're looking about the end product, but we're forgetting sometimes about the journey. And so often you'll see kids and adults, whatever, they'll come to the end of something, whether or not it goes well or not. We don't generally think about the journey till after. And so we have sort of this backwards thinking. And as we think it through, if it was a negative result, we'll just focus on all those negative things. Like, oh, why didn't I? Or why didn't they? Or how come this didn't work? And so we're beating ourselves up in that way. If it was a good thing, then we're thinking back and thinking, wow, it was good I did this. It was good they did this. It was good that we responded this way. And so there's excitement in that. I was listening to a message. Oh, by the way, I just got back from Ambrose. That's our Christian University that we have for the Alliance and the Nazarene churches. And I took my son there for interviews with a scholarship, and oh, it was so much fun. That I could have went on and told you a journey too, but I'm not going to do that this morning. But when I was there, this one guy was speaking, and he said he had an illustration, and it went like this. He said there was a 70-year-old woman that wrote something in a newspaper. And basically what she said was, I finally become who I wanted to be when I was 5 years old. You ever hear someone say something like that? She's a teacher, and she went through all these years to 70 years old, and finally she let go of all the voices that were telling her what to do, and she decided to do what she wanted to do, and she took the time to do it. And I was thinking, that, wow, that's amazing. And then he used this illustration to say, it's interesting how we do backwards thinking when we get to a certain age, and we all do it. I know some of you who are younger are thinking, what? But definitely I do it. However, he said, how about we start doing some forward thinking? And think about the dreams that we want to do, and try to let God get a hold of us earlier and let him direct our paths. So don't wait till we get that finished product. Actually enjoy the journey. Whether it's good, bad, or ugly, walk in the journey with God. And then Pastor Kyle had a really good point, was that when you're 70, that's also a good illustration just to say, life is not done. It is not finished. There is so much more we can do. And God maybe has a different part, a different chapter. But let's figure out what that journey looks like with God at every stage of our life and embrace it and go. All right, so Joseph, he came up to this point in his life where he was sharing some dreams. He was pretty obnoxious to his brothers. There are all sorts of issues here that we can't look at, but there's so many little nuances in this story that just cause for a really unique movie. We'd love to see it. And, of course, some people have tried to capture it, and you've probably seen some musicals on it and all sorts of things where they capture different ideas about this story. But let me just say a couple things. Joseph was following on the sort of the tale of his great-grandfather, grandfather, and father. And each one of them had many struggles. And yet each one of them were called by God to be leaders of a nation.
And initially, one that wasn't even, where are these people? And yet God used Abraham, of course, to start this and made a covenant with him. God worked through each of these guys. Now, both Abraham and Isaac clearly showed that they struggled just like us. And they were not confident that on their journey that God would be with them. It's revealed in one unique story, and I share it only because it happened to both of them, and it happened to both of them with the same nation, with Abimelech. Now, Abimelech was a guy who was a king of a nation, and when Abraham came to him into his land, he was worried about what would happen. He wasn't trusting God that God would walk with him, and so in order to cover and keep himself safe, he said that his wife Sarah was his sister. As a result, the king took Sarah into his kingdom and was going to allow her to be part of his life and be involved in him as one of his concubines, basically, and in order to join these two people together, which was kind of a thing that they did. And Abraham, in his lack of faith, just said, yeah, she's my sister. But in a dream, God spoke to Abimelech. So God overrided what Abraham did and actually took care of Abraham, and thanks be to God, she did not get involved with him sexually, and he was able to go to Abraham and say, Abraham, why did you do this? Well, I was afraid. So even though God had over and over spoken to Abraham, he came to this point where he had an opportunity to put his faith into action, and he failed. And yet God was there with him and walked with him and allowed him to come out of that. Not only did he come out of that, but he came out of that with a lot of things. That guy just said, oh, you can have this and this and this and this, because he was pretty scared. God met him, and there were people in his family who were ill as a result of what happened, and so Abraham was actually able to pray over them, and they were healed. You know, it's an amazing thing how God set them free. And then Isaac did the same thing. He had the same person, and he had an opportunity to stand for God, and he said, my wife's my sister. And again, the same situation, and God walked him through it and was able to help him. There are many other stories, and the stories, you should take some time to read it in Genesis, but the family was a mess. It was disgustingly dirty, just like our families, just like our walk. And yet you'll notice that if you go and read through it, as these guys and these women, as these families walked through all of these things, there was a fear, but their desire was to have God with them. And it was taken to another level when Jacob came along. See, Jacob was, as they say, a deceiver. And his name actually meant that. And he had big battles with his brother, and he tricked him twice. Ended up getting a blessing from his dad. But he had an opportunity to do something really unique. And a lot of us won't even understand what this is all about, but somehow he fought with some sort of angelic, godly being. And when he fought with this being, he just happened to be on his way back home to be with his family. And as he was heading back, he had this opportunity to battle with this being. And here we have Jacob, just a man, fighting with what is some sort of angel or something like that. They're battling all night long, and somehow he's able to stay in the clutches of this angel and actually appear to be winning, or at least hanging on. And they come to almost dawn, and the angel, the being, says, that's enough. That's enough. You need to let go. And Jacob says, I'm not letting go. And I won't even let go until you give me a blessing. And it turns out that the angelic being touches him on the hip, and he's injured. And right away, he just lost his strength there. And yet he hangs on, and the angel actually gives him a blessing and gives him a new name. And actually turns him around, makes him a new person. You see, it's a unique story. And in the story, it actually says, you have overcome man, and you have won against man, and you have won against God. It's a very confusing story. But I think it's quite obvious that when you read the story and you look at it, that this being, this heavenly being that we're talking about, could just even with one touch disable Jacob. And yet in God's grace, he allows Jacob to hang on. And what I want to say to you about this battle, this war that happened, is that Jacob Jacob desperately knew that he was, if he was going to carry on and move on and be successful in his life to follow God, he would need God with him. And he would need a blessing. You see, he had deceived his brother Esau twice, and now he's on a journey to see Esau. And he's terrified. Esau was the tough guy, the strong guy, the guy that was really angry at him when he left. And now he's returning home. And he wants to be assured that God is with him. And God showed him, I am with you. Let's go right to the story, because it turns out that when he meets his brother, God takes care of everything for him. Again, he blesses him, and he shows his presence with him. So in the story, as Patty read for you, here we have Joseph, who's come out of this type of history, this type of context. And I didn't share even just a tiny bit of it. There's so much more involved in this story, but we don't have time for it this morning. It was really messy. But I wanted to share the battle that Jacob had, because it was significant in his life to commit himself to Christ. We all will have these moments where we'll come to something and we can go one way or the other. My suggestion is do your best to hang on to God. Don't get me wrong, I don't believe that it was Jacob's strength that helped him to bring God into his life. I just believe it was God's grace that he allowed Jacob in his weakness, pathetic weakness, to hold on to him. And he said, I'm going to bless you. And so this morning as we come, I don't know what journey you're on right now, where you are, but I know that God wants to bless you. He wants to shine his grace on you. And it may sometimes feel like you are the one hanging on and desperately hanging on. But trust me, that is not the picture. The reality is God is giving you the ability to stay in the picture with him. He's allowing you to hang on. And he's growing you as you do that. And he's helping you in the journey. So even though we want this end product that we're looking at, whatever that might be to you, God's wanting the journey. He's wanting that battle. He's wanting that the angst that we go through. And he wants to show you that in the midst of that, he's right with us. And he's walking with us. So Jacob lived in a land, in 37 verse 1, said lived in a land where his father had stayed, the land of Canaan. This is the account of Jacob's family line. And I'm not going to say it, but Jacob had a family line, and we talked a little bit about some of the things. But as Jacob went through this moment, Jacob somehow has changed a little bit. And so he was kind of tough on his boys and on his wives, and they were all in competition to have children so that he would feel good about them and they would feel good about themselves. And oh my goodness, it was just kind of a crazy story. But at this point, Jacob seems to have mellowed. It seems like the Holy Spirit, as it were, would have kind of grabbed a hold of him, and he had changed his approach. And so with Joseph being one of his newly born children, and now older, he had a deep, deep love for him. The problem is that he had some boys who didn't feel that same love. And so what they saw was their dad basically dressing them up in this, as we know, this bright robe that extended to the ankles and extended to the wrists. And we know what that basically said. Well, I'm nobility, I'm loved, and I don't have to work. Because the others, of course, were ready to work. Their short sleeves and dress did not go down to the ankles. It came up quite high, so they were ready to run and work hard, and they did. But Joseph did not, and he was close and taken care of by his dad. And as we read about these dreams, he had dreams that unfortunately he didn't realize, but they were going to really hurt his brothers. And he went out and he told them the dreams, how they're going to worship him, and their parents are going to worship them, and he's going to be the ruler of all things. And so part of Joseph's journey was quite different from the other guys. His journey was, it seemed, almost naivety, but also this closeness that God had given him to hear his voice. So what I want you to see in this chapter is that our journey can be so varied and can be so good or so bad, and it's not dependent on who we are. It's just dependent on it's not dependent on God's grace on us, but it's just dependent on God, who God made us to be, and how he wants to walk out his truth in us. The guys who struggled and who were angry and who threw him in the pit, as the story says, well, they struggled a lot. Their journey was much more challenging for them. Joseph, on the other hand, it appeared to be a lot better. And yet he was the one thrown into the pit. He was the one left there and was going to be sold, and in fact was sold to a nation, to a people who took him to another nation. Let's look at the story in sort of a different way. As we see these guys all journeying in their life, they somehow had to find God in the midst of that. Now, I don't know if you noticed in the story, but when he was thrown into the pit, just before that, his brother Reuben kind of stood up for him. Now, Reuben also obviously had had a moment where God had drawn him closer to him, and he realized the significance of who Joseph was, and he had developed somehow a love for his dad and a love for his brother, and he wanted to take care of him. And so he felt he had done that by getting them to throw him into the pit rather than kill him. Now, Reuben has a complicated past, too. It's complicated. He got involved in things that he should never have, right? And he was involved sexually with one of his dad's moms. It was really messy. He was hurt, and he had a point where he needed to come around and do something different. God somehow met him. You see, in the darkness of our lives, whatever it might look like, God wants to work. He wants to be a part of us. And so Reuben was brokenhearted, and he tried to make a difference, but he didn't, or so he thought. The fact is, he did save Joseph, and probably in the long run, he saved his brothers as well, where they were able to come back to the dad and say, you know, this is the cloak. They lied. They were the deceiver. They continued the line of deception. They said, Joseph's gone. He died, and here's his cloak. And they all cried together as if they were sorry that he was gone. And then he carried on, and next week we'll look a little bit more at his journey. But let me challenge you. As you're walking through your journey, just like Joseph was, just like Jacob was, just like Isaac was, just like Abraham was, the most important part we need to do is to allow God to walk with us through the journey and be in the journey, whatever it might be, in the darkest and the hardest times. I can remember even just a couple years ago and even till today thinking, God, why didn't you set me free from X, Y, Z before? So that I would be free, not back then, to make a significant difference for you back then. And the reason is because that's the way God, that's the plan that was there for me. And this is a journey that I had to go through. And the things that I needed to work through in my life were not worked through yet. I don't know, it's such a hard thing to look at life that way. I'll share one more thing and then we're going to close in prayer. But one of the things that is really awesome about, or really interesting about this whole story, is that God had made a covenant with all these guys and all these families. And so as they were going through all this, they knew that there was a time where they're going to be brought back to what's called a promised land. And even as they were journeying at this point, as Jacob was coming back to this land and he was going to have his family in this promised land, they were thinking about that time. But it's interesting, the covenant, when it was given to them, there was this clause there that said, after 400 years. And so, can you imagine that? That's generations. So you think, well, we want to be in the promised land. We just want to be there to enjoy the promise that you have for us. What's this 400 years? Well, that's the journey. And so I'm wondering, what is your journey? What has God called for you to do? I'm not suggesting that it's going to be like that, that you're never going to see any hope. And I don't think that was the case for these people either, because God walked with them. And they saw God in the ups and downs, and they discovered how to follow him and how to be with him. In our journey, it's going to be like that too. It's going to be a lot of ups and downs, but God promises to be with us. There, as we jump to the New Testament, coming out of the Old Testament, because the Old Testament is such a unique captured time. In the New Testament, we celebrate the fact that Christ came. And I'm just going to go right back to Matthew. Actually, I'm not going to look it up. Matthew 28. In Matthew 28, it says that God has called us to be disciples. Right? He told us to go and preach the gospel, to baptize. And then at the end, he said, and lo, I will be with you always to the end of the age. What a great promise. And then in Acts, we see that the people waited and the Holy Spirit came upon them. So today we have a unique journey that's even so much closer with God. We can walk with him literally within us, and he can establish the mind of Christ in us. So grab onto that in your journey and hang on tight to it and discover a God who says, lo, I will be with you always. Listen, I will be with you always to the very end of the age until I come again. And I will give you the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit will come and empower you and give you the ability to walk with me and to share me with others. Let's pray together. Father, I want to thank you for the story of Joseph and for the amazing way that you walked with that people, even in a moment where it seemed like they were completely lost and on their own. And so, Father, I trust that we would find you in the same way as a God who was very present, and that we would decide not to go anywhere unless it's with you. And I pray in Jesus' name.